everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Got a little cold going on.
Good times.
Nice nose thing going, and then the sore throat, so I have to hang my mouth wide open and breathe. And,
as opposed to how you usually breathe? Oh, you know it would be nice right now is to get a load of you eating on mic.
Oh, yeah.
Like a rhino.
I can't get air unless my mouth is hanging wide open, and it's not a real attractive look. If any of you have seen that mouth hanging open look.
That slack jaw look.
Yeah, nice. You look dumb. Yeah. You just don't look cool with your mouth gaping wide open. It's something I found out today as I looked around. I went into my office this morning with this horrible sore throat and demanded to look at everyone's uvula. That little thing that hangs down that everyone thinks is your tonsils.
Oh, people think that's your tonsils?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, well, I don't know if everyone does, but I did growing up.
Okay.
I think I did.
All right.
Yeah, I did. Did you guys think that, like, if somebody said when you were in fifth grade, draw some tonsils, you'd draw a mouth and then that thing hanging down in the middle of it, right? And I think I thought that was the tonsils for, you know, well into my adult life.
Wow.
But the point is I demanded to look at everybody's in the office because mine seemed to be the size of Fred Flintstone's thumb after he got it hit with a hammer.
Did it throb bright red like Fred's?
Red, and it was like a. It was really
it was glowing.
Like it's like a thumb. It was a midget's thumb hanging
actually,
from the inside of my mouth.
Was there an ulcer on it? Could you see a little white patch?
No ulcer on it.
Sometimes that sometimes responds to antibiotics.
Oh, so. Well, I've had it. I've decided that I may have a small penis, but I have a large uvula.
Congratulations!
So, yeah, I've been touched by God.
So have you been trying to figure out what use to put that to?
I went. What? What you used to put it? Yeah, maybe helping other penises. I went and looked at everyone in my office, and I was surprised to see how much they varied.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Jimmy's uvula, which, again, is the thing that hangs down in the middle of your throat when you open your mouth, looks like a little rat's tail. It's pointy. It comes to a sharp point, and it's thin and long, and, I mean, it looks like if you took the last 5/8 of an inch of a rat's tail, maybe 3/4 of an inch of a rat's tail, and pinch it off and hung it down. That's exactly, I mean, it literally comes to a point.
Some people have like a little heart hanging at the end. A little,
yeah.
And some people drags on their tongue.
Yeah, his was hanging down and sort of flopped over.
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't just sitting there in the middle. Like mine looks like a speed bag. That's what my tongue does when it gets bored. Works over the uvula. I looked around. I saw his brothers. He had that same sort of cat. He had the rat tail hanging there. And some other guys. I had by far the largest. So let me see yours. Now I got to see what this looks like. Let's see. It's hard to see. I got a flashlight.
My breath in your club?
No, I got choked on a lozenge. I got to take a look. Tell me, your doctor. Tell me what you think of mine.
No, I got to get the light.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, there. I'm going toward the light. You ready?
Yeah. Head back a little bit. You know what happens? You know what's the problem now? I looked up at the light, and I got
your
black spot. But
right.
I did see something unusually thick.
Yeah,
so it's nice that you have one appendage that is thick.
Yeah, I got one girthy appendage. It's inside my mouth. All righty. So everyone look at yours and then
and
look
at
your
friends.
By the
way, what I also could see is, you know, you need like what's called a uvula palatoplasty. You're not only do you have nasal septal problems, you have no hole going in the back of your throat either.
I don't get a lot of air.
Your tongue touches your soft palate.
Yeah, I'm almost dead.
You're almost occluded. All airways shut down.
No
wonder you don't sleep. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Think how smart I would be if I get proper oxygen to my brain.
You seriously need to get a sleep evaluation.
All right.
Why didn't you dad to say something about this?
Because he's so scared to talk to me.
Yeah.
He's busy apologizing for not having enough nitrous pumped into the waiting room. Drew, we'll get a little flashlight, take a look in there during the break, right?
Right.
Tara?
Flashlight?
No.
Flashlight, please.
Yeah. I got one in my car.
Right.
Osman?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yeah, 22.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
How you doing?
Good. Are you on a speakerphone?
Yeah, right now.
All right. Well, hold on a second.
Might want to get back on a headset.
Scott? 21?
Yes.
What's up?
How are you guys?
Good. I got a little sore throat, but...
That's good. How's Dr. Drew?
I'm fine.
Good.
I hear you're a passionate man.
Passionate man.
Even in Buffalo, they know that, huh?
Yes, I'm from Buffalo. My question is me and my girlfriend, we're trying to have a kid, and...
21?
We noticed, like, the other day that my sperm came out of her.
Right.
And I don't know if that's normal or...
That's normal.
Were you guys eating and she burped? She belched?
No. I mean, we're right after we're... Excuse me. Right after we were done making...
Oh.
She stood up and... Wow.
No, she wasn't standing up. She was still laying down. And she laughed because I made a joke and it came out.
Wow. Man, you must be funny. I got one guy to do that out of his ass once, but never a chick. Wow.
No, that's normal, and it does not significantly reduce the probability of pregnancy.
It doesn't.
No.
Why not?
You get plenty in there.
Because I read that sperm lives up to 72 hours inside a woman.
Uh-huh. Yes, it is, but it's in there. Believe me, it's like, what would be an equivalent? I mean, there's millions of sperm in there. You don't have to have every drop of fluid in.
But this didn't just happen just a little bit. It happened like...
Listen, it's fine. Don't worry. It's fine.
But the thing is she's also on depression medicine.
Yeah.
And I hear some girls get during pregnancy.
Well, after pregnancy is when it happened. But she shouldn't be getting pregnant on depression medicine.
I should talk to her about that?
She needs to talk to her doctor about that, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's not that they are absolutely contraindicated, but... There are concerns about that.
Well, how depressed can she be? She's having a good romp in the sack and then a nice laugh with a bubbling crude coming out of her. I mean, what's wrong with that? Eric?
Hi.
Hey, you're 16. What's up?
Yeah, for the past year and a half now, I've been getting more and more attracted to guys.
Yeah.
sorry, I just... It's just a little weird. I don't know if I'm, like, I want to tell my friends and my parents that I'm gay.
Why?
I don't know. There's
definite mason jar behind this. I just feel it.
I just feel like...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to tell them.
Yeah. All right, well...
But I don't know how. I mean, how can I tell them without, like...
Why don't you hold off, okay? Why don't you pick some friends that you know or care about you, who are close with you... And tell a couple of them, but realize that you don't accomplish anything really by telling your parents or family, unless you're convinced that they will be totally accepting and cool with it. If you have any concerns about how they're going to react, this includes friends as well. Get a group of gay friends who've been through this together and get some support going and think about it. And
yeah,
there's no advantage to doing it at this point.
Yeah, there's not really like many. Gay people I know.
Well, there's gay and lesbian youth centers, and I'm certainly you're in Phoenix. There's probably several there.
Well, you never have you ever been with a guy?
Just once, and
yeah,
it didn't get really, you know,
yeah,
anything.
Hey, how do you know you're gay?
What?
He stays increasingly attracted to guys.
All right. Yeah. Oh, look, why don't you wait till you're sure you're gay?
Okay.
You don't want to make that move.
Just think about it, Eric. Guys don't sit down at the dinner table and announce the first time they have any kind of sexual relationship with anyone. They don't announce that. Why do you feel you have to announce this potential that you have? It's not even something you're doing yet.
Your parents religious?
No, not at all.
Well, do you love them?
Yeah, I like them a lot. So
you get along with them well?
Yeah, most of the time.
How do you think they'd be if they found out you were gay?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure my mom would be pretty receptive. Her sister's a lesbian, and, I mean, she was fine with it.
All right.
Sisters were just her uncle, or my uncles had a problem with it.
All right.
He's had a problem. What?
Well, they didn't talk to her for about, like, 3 or 4 years.
This is your mom's brother?
Two of my mom's brothers.
Didn't like the fact that their sister was gay.
Right.
So there's something going on in the family here. You don't really want to deal with all that. You're 16.
All right.
Just get some friends together who've been through this, who can support you and talk about it, think about it, and then when the time comes, go right on ahead.
Yeah. You know, I think I get a sore throat from talking too much, too, you know? Do you know that I'm frequently cut off by my friends' phone machines? That I
exceed so
the allotted time.
It's because there's so much silence in between each word.
Too much stuff in there. And,
No. It's just they just like, beep.
No, how dare you? No, I just have a lot to say, and I end up getting cut off. And then I have to call back, and oftentimes I'm cut off the second time.
Do you sound like that?
Like this, or like blah, 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 blah?
Like blah, blah, blah.
Basically, yeah. And you know, I said to Jimmy today that phone machines need to be able to decipher the difference between inane ramblings of some family member and poignant social commentary delivered by a professional like myself.
Or just a receiver left off the hook.
Yes, thank you. Osmond?
Yes.
Can you get off the speakerphone, please?
Speakerphone now, buddy.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you in a bathroom?
Yeah, right now. I just got done waving.
Can you get out of the bathroom?
Yeah, hold up. Let me get my zipper up.
All right, hold on.
Well, evening with Osmond.
I guess Osmond does a lot of national radio. He's very relaxed. Very relaxed. You know my other huge invention, Drew? I got fruit in the middle yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
I got the heated sofa.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is huge. I got jeans with panty lines sewn into them.
Right.
And now I got the flush delay on the toilet. I've talked about this before.
Set the timer.
You don't have to set a timer. All I need is 5 seconds. I can't tell you the hundreds of times I'm on the pot. I've had a conversation, and here's how it works every time. I'm talking to somebody on the phone. I've gone number two. I don't want to leave the mess in the toilet. I try to lean out of the bathroom, sort of holding the phone away as far as I can, flush, and make a quick leap move away from the flush sound, because there's nothing worse than someone catching you on the pot. What was that? Were you on the pot? You were taking a dump the whole time we were talking about my relatives.
And your friends be merciless.
Right. But here's the problem. Oftentimes, I say, nah, don't flush it. Don't chance it. And I just walk away.
Game over.
Then I hang up the phone and leave. Then I return with somebody, and they say, can I use the bathroom? And I go, yeah, no problem. And there's a big Duke floating in there. And they don't I can't explain the whole phone thing. You know you're in trouble
you
when someone...
You bring a date back to your house?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
you
nice.
Know you're
that's
in trouble
nice.
When someone wants to use your bathroom, and you hear the door shut and the toilet flush immediately. You go, are they done already? And then you think... Nope.
Oh.
There must have been something in there.
It's no wonder your housekeeper has post-traumatic stress disorder, you know?
I have to pay for therapy. Mike?
Yes.
You're 24?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, first of all, I want to know when you're going to do the Howard Stern show again.
Oh, geez. I don't know. It hasn't been that long. It's only been a month or two, right?
Yeah.
That was
the best Howard Stern 2 days I've ever listened to. So.
Well, thank you. I imagine when we go back there, we'll do it. And whenever we go to New York. Thanks.
That sounds good. My question is for Dr. Drew. I'm a pharmacy technician for a pretty big chain of pharmacies. And my problem is I've got 3 or 4 times... a customer has come in with a valid doctor's prescription for the morning after pill, and the pharmacist refuses to fill the prescription. And not only will he refuse, but he'll call other pharmacies around town and tell them to refuse.
Well, have you tried talking rationally to this person?
Yes, he says in his mind it is abortion.
Why doesn't he stop prescribing any birth control then?
Well, that's not an abortion.
But why does he start refusing to fill any? Because they all have the same potential to have
I brought that up to him, and quite frankly, I tried to get into a rational discussion, and I admittedly don't have all the facts about the differences between the morning after pill and regular birth control.
Get it. Get the facts. There really is almost no difference. Go research it yourself. That's what you got to do. And you got to get the current stuff, because the old stuff looks a little iffy. It looks like maybe it does impair implantation because that's where all the research was directed. And if you look at the effect on implantation, it looks exactly the same as Celebrex and Vioxx and other birth control pills used the way they're supposed to be used. So go get them the stuff. Get them literature.
Let me tell you what people really have a problem with. It is the we are doing something after the fact to try to prevent a pregnancy, and that's what freaks them out. Well, do you know what I mean? It's the order of things. It's not right. The science of things. Yeah.
His main point was that fertilization had already taken place.
No, Mike, no. It works by preventing egg from being released.
Okay.
It has no more probability of allowing fertilization than the other pills. And when fertilization does take place, it only works 70% of the time. That 30%, fertilization took place, they get pregnant.
But let me say this, too, and I don't know the legalities of this, but can't you tell that goddamn old-timer just to, hey, Grandpa, give me the drugs and save the moral evaluation for your screwed-up lesbian kid?
Well, what I was going to ask, okay, this has happened with three different patients and three different pharmacists, believe it or not. And like I said, he calls other pharmacies and tries to tell them to...
But, Mike, arm yourself with the facts.
Wait a minute, though. I don't understand this. Like, if I want to... Suppose I want something for herpes or crabs or some condoms. He's there to dispense
exactly. These
things. He's not there to make moral judgments. I would say that it would be against the law, is it not?
I don't think it's against the law for him to refuse.
No, it's all right for him to refuse. I don't objection to what he does. That it's irrational what he's doing. And if he would choose to have no oral contraceptive and get Vioxx and Celebrex off the shelf in his pharmacy, then I'd say, well, there you go. He believes a certain way, and that's fine. Let's not argue with him. But he's irrational that he should pick this product as the one that he takes issue with. How does he feel about certain kinds of IUDs?
He's fine with them. I'll be honest. I really don't know the names of some of this stuff.
Yeah.
So if an IUD was being prescribed...
No, it's just IUD. It's a certain kind of contraception that's in the uterus.
What I was really wondering, what would be my options to tell some of these people? I mean, if they're getting denied...
Why don't you find a pharmacy that you know does do this, somebody you can sort of form a relationship with, or at least an alliance with, who sees the facts the way they are... They need to be interpreted.
These people need to be punished, and they need to be punished in the way that makes this country great, which is no more business. You need to say to these people who are coming to you, look, who's the doctor who sent you here? Someone needs to get
word back to the doctor
and say, hey, no more sending people over to this guy.
That's a good point.
And you know what? You screw up a couple of chicks with the morning after pill, and you don't get the other 99% of business. I mean, this is the way this capitalist system works.
Yeah.
People got to feel the pinch a little bit.
Vote with their feet.
They vote with their feet. Huh? Oh, okay. I was picturing you punching those little things out
with your feet.
No, not
literally fighting with your feet.
No, yeah, that's right. You vote with your pocketbook, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you always think is gay, that word pocketbook, especially when they refer to like, oh, you really feel the pinch in your pocketbook.
You like underpants.
Say wallet.
But you don't like pocketbook.
Wallet. Pocketbook sounds gay on a guy, doesn't it?
And underpants?
Underpants is okay.
Okay.
Pocketbook is gay for a guy.
All right.
You'd never refer to your wallet as a pocketbook, would you? Is your wallet a pocketbook?
No.
Pocketbook's like a purse.
I would never use that word, period. So let's go on.
All right. Okay, but listen, Drew, you're not angry enough. I don't like when... To me, this is irresponsible and dangerous, and I don't want to go too crazy here, but even potentially life-threatening.
Well, I mean,
you're steering somebody away who now could get pregnant, who could get an abortion, who could get into trouble, or have a kid and have some difficulties with that. I mean, this is not a minor thing. It may seem minor, but it has grand-scale implications. Somebody who... Maybe this was the last day. Maybe you delayed them just enough for the pregnancy to take and for them to now have to go through the emotional and physical thing of an abortion.
Forget emotional or physical. For that particular pharmacist, this individual will get an actual abortion. They will actually have an abortion.
Right.
The thing you could have prevented will actually go down.
Right. Except for they think it's an abortion pill.
Except it's not.
Okay. I'm saying you, anybody who gets any crap from any pharmacist who's passing any judgment on them or anything like this, you just take your business somewhere else and notify your doctor. Yep. I mean, Drew, if a couple of your patients came to you, albeit no one's had sex in 90 years because they're all Jews that are about 160 years old, but if one of them theoretically had sex and a few came to you with this and mm-hmm. said, hey, this guy's not doing it.
No, that he called three other pharmacies I tried to go to.
And you would gladly just steer all your patients somewhere else, right?
I would go insane. I would call every other physician in town. I would have a big deal about it.
Right, that's what everyone should do. Just get on the horn, make a few phone calls, and dry this old geezer's business right up. Thank you. Natalia?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
I can't even get the question out. You guys were just talking about the whole emergency contraceptive thing,
mm-hmm.
and how you were saying it's only 70%.
It's 70% overall over 3 days. If you get it in the first 24 hours, it's more towards 80.
Right now it is the first 24 hours.
All right, you can get more like 80-90% out of it if you get it right now.
All right. But I don't have access to it right now, and I'm just like extremely nervous.
Get it in the first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning. Go
where? Where should you get it?
Do you have a doctor?
No, not the one that's really... He's really close with my parents, so I don't think I can...
Natalie, Natalia, if he reports to your parents, he's breaking the law.
Yeah. Look, if they're hanging around playing golf and drinking beer, loose lips.
Yeah, that's why I don't
They're social friends?
Tell my dad.
They're social friends?
Yeah, like, he'll go... Like, sometimes when my doctor's working late at night and my dad wants to see him, he'll like bring him his dinner and stuff like that. They'll be really good friends. Like, go up to Santa Barbara.
Go to an urgent care center then.
What do you mean urgent care center?
Like just some sort of a walk-in clinic, or go to Planned Parenthood. Go to Planned Parenthood up there. Okay. Planned Parenthood. Look, 1-800. Wait, where's the phone number here?
But by tomorrow, what's like the percentage?
It's still in the 80-90% range. You're still. Okay. It's better than not doing it.
Yes.
Yeah. Go do it.
1-800-PULL-OUT.
It's 1-800-230-PLAN. 1-800-230-PLAN. Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, good luck. Good times. As we've said many times on the show, I'm very saddened that this show seems to be one of the only outlets for this information, this morning after pill information.
Yeah, here's the thing. I object to abortion, too. I have a problem with it. Therefore, here, as I look at the landscape of how I can do something to decrease abortions in this country, here it is.
Right.
This prevents fertilization from taking place.
Right.
Not implantation, fertilization. Period. It eliminates it. And when it happens, they get pregnant. And then you got another problem to deal with.
Here's the fundamental problem, Drew. most of the people that are against abortion would be for this pill.
Yeah, but if they were rational.
No. No, here's what I'm saying. I'm going to modify it a little bit. Most people, everyone hates abortion and everyone thinks it's ugly.
Yes.
Then there's the portion who is just against it and thinks it should be illegal.
Right.
And then there are the mouthpieces for that group.
Yeah.
And I would say most people in that group are...
Rational.
They're rational. They're like yourself. Yeah. They would like to get rid of this. Yeah. But the people along the top, they're not so interested in ending the abortions. They like to punish just a little bit. You know that personality I'm talking about?
Mm.
You think you're just going to have sex willy-nilly and then take a pill and it's all going to be better? No. That ain't the way it's going to work. And they're very much into that. You made your bed, Missy. You sleep in it now. You shouldn't be able to, they always get very upset about stuff being used as birth control. You can't just use abortion as birth control. You can't just have a random indiscriminate sex and then expect to have it all go away. See, it's more of a message that they're trying to send than a sort of bottom line pragmatic
issue,
which is, look, are you against abortions or not?
Yeah.
And who are these people? These are the ones who didn't get laid in high school, everybody.
Well,
and now your case has become a mission. Drew, you sat across this woman, Jane Hathaway, who was in here crowing about Jesus and abortions and all that 6 months ago. Does she look like she's ever gotten a good reaming in her life? How much play you think she got in high school? Huh? No. Her stepdad had a crack at her when she was 12, and that's the last time anyone got near her. And now, we're all going to pay.
We'll be right back.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to speak to Osman, known as Mr. Personality, to his friends and family. Osman?
Hey, what's up?
All right, there we go, buddy.
Okay, we're
Hold on a second there, Osman.
Okay.
Osman's 22. He's a cross-dresser. He uses motor oil to lube up and... lube up his hand and shove it in his butt? We'll find out whether he's going with a Durblend, a full synthetic, or just a standard 30 weight after this. Hey.
I think real candy's got to have chocolate, though.
Loveline. Just digging into a nice big basket.
I freaked Adam out by telling him his uvula hangs on his tongue.
I've never seen it on
does.
There.
Check it out. Go
does
look.
It rest on it?
It's folded forward on it.
No, yes. It's just swollen up.
It's swollen, but it's also resting on the back.
Do I have one of the bigger uvulas you've seen?
Yeah, you do, buddy.
Thanks.
Big boy.
Yeah. Really feel good around the gym, you know? Walking around with my mouth hanging open. Other guys in their puny uvulas. I tell you, it's great. It's great when you have the big uvula. You got a couple chicks and... you want to go hot tubbing? These guys are all keeping their mouths closed because they're embarrassed. Not me. Now I'm just hanging on the edge, my mouth wide open. Of course, I'm wearing a towel in the jacuzzi, but the mouth wide open, man. Thanks, baby. Oh, man. Fighting a cold off here. That's what we're talking about. Osman?
Hey, what's up, dude?
All right there, Osman. So Osman's 22.
Yep.
He says he's a cross-dresser.
Yeah, kind of. I don't really consider it cross-dressing. It's just like I'm really a freak, man. Uh-huh. I wear like three different pair of pantyhose.
Something charming about his honesty and frankness.
Yeah.
Puckish.
Yeah, I like doing it. I'll even go into public places dressed like that. And, you know, I kind of get off on the way people look at me and react to the way I'm dressed differently.
Well, how do they know you're wearing three pair of pantyhose? How does that show, by the way?
Because that's all I wear is the three pair of pantyhose. And then I've got a pair of black underwear I put on and like a black leather lace-up kind of Marilyn Manson thing I wear.
Faggot better run like a corset, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I got a Hot Topic in the mall, man.
And so you get...
What do you do? Do you work at a video store?
No, dude. I'm out of a job, actually, right now.
He couldn't even work like that.
So I've had all this free time on my hands.
Yeah.
And I've discovered this weird fantasy.
Well, you know, they say the devil makes work for idle hands. And I think you're doing a good job of driving that point home.
No.
What are you doing with your ass now?
Well, I'm actually... pretty much working it over pretty good here lately.
Uh-huh.
With all the free time. I recently had to put some oil in my car.
Uh-huh.
And I only needed to put like a half quart in it.
Right.
And the rest I brought in with me. And, you know, I live by myself. I don't have a girlfriend or anything, so...
Shocking.
I figured I'd try it out, and ever since then it's really become an addiction.
You pour the oil all over your hand?
Or, you know, whatever object, you know, that I find that would be, you know, appropriate for that.
What kind of
night.
Appropriate objet are heading up the keister there?
Well, you know the old Brut bottles?
Uh-huh.
A lot of times I'll use those.
Yeah. Wait, which side?
I'll do the nail polish bottle.
Aren't you afraid these things are going to get stuck up there?
Well, I usually hold on to it, you know. Well, I don't let it, like, you know, get lost in there or anything.
What end of the Brut bottle are you using?
The thin end, dude.
Oh, okay, all right.
The thicker end.
Well, hell.
And just kind of ream it a little bit.
Sure.
And, you know, a lot of times I'll make it sore. And I'll kind of be proud of that fact, you know, that I've done myself that way. You know, it's really different, and I enjoy being different.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Just like when I dress up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just kind of wondering what you guys' opinion on that was.
What kind of motor oil?
10W40.
10W40.
My favorite brand.
My favorite.
Yeah, that's good. I'd go to a, I'd go to maybe a 30 grade.
A 30 grade?
30 weight. Like a I might go to a thinner
synthetic
weight. During the winter, yeah, because it gets colder.
I see.
And viscosity gets a little bit thicker.
I see.
And you may also want to think about an additive. How many miles do you have on your anus?
How many miles? Quite a bit, dude.
Uh-huh. And is this
like STP or
in my car?
Is this a highway miles or a lot of stop and go?
All different kinds.
A lot of bumper to bumper?
Bumper to bumper.
Yeah. Boy, all kinds.
You may want to step up to a nice additive.
A nice additive? Like, are you talking like the fuel additive or something?
Well,
maybe
you know,
get a fire going?
Well, there's all that, Z-Max stuff and all that kind of stuff. But that stuff can affect your seals.
Okay.
And you can leak Duke.
Okay.
So I'd say just step up to an organic type of thing like STP.
But
add that every other Fabergé bottle,
like
every other Brute bottle. Yeah. What?
Like is this kind of sadistic or?
Yeah.
Not great.
Oh yeah.
I mean, what should I do about it? Because it's like a new fantasy for me, and I really don't know how to react to it.
Do you, Osmond, ever hear voices?
Do I ever hear voices?
Mm-hmm.
On some instances, but...
What are they telling
you? You're insane.
Like, well, I know I'm insane, but usually they only come when I'm, like, not in reality, you know?
And what makes you get out of reality?
Okay, well, there's certain things on this earth, if you know what I mean, that'll take you to places that only things like that will take you to.
You talking about chemicals?
Oh, yeah.
Brute bottle? What are you into?
Usually the grass thing.
Yeah.
But you know, like the hydroponics, you know, so,
yeah, so when you do fine, when you do good strong weed, you start hearing voices. Do you ever see things?
Well, usually when I eat the psilocybin like that and the acid thing, but
do you have a long
when I'm under the influence of these things, I don't, you know, do the motor oil thing.
Have you done a lot of these drugs, acid at all?
No. The most I've ever done is with, like, the marijuana and
all right.
Cocaine.
Listen, what happened to you? Did someone rape you or beat on you or do something horrible to you?
Mm-mm.
You didn't see your parents die in front of you or anything good like that?
Both of my parents are alive.
Oh, those poor bastards. Listen, anyway. Osmond, you got to get yourself some help, baby.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's medication to help with this.
I got to get myself some help.
And in a huge, huge way.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know, walk around the mall with panties on and a Brute bottle hanging out of your keister. This is no way to live, especially around the holidays.
No, and he's miserable.
I'm miserable just talking to him.
Just think about the one act of trying, of stimulating yourself in a kind of aggressive way until you harm yourself. Just that. Not a good thing.
No. All right, so what should he do?
You need to see a psychiatrist. You need to be honest with them.
Okay.
And there's ways to make you much more comfortable.
All right. Speaking of screwy, what about this Anastasia there? Or what the hell name is that? Yeah? Finds her dog attractive? Yeah?
All right, here we go.
Is that Anastasia? Anastasia?
Anastasia.
Anastasia.
Is that how you spell Anastasia?
No.
Yeah, well...
No. Mm-mm. What's up, Anastasia?
I'm 16. Mm-hmm. And, hey, Dr. Drew, hey, Adam, I love you both. And me and my boyfriend, Shoes, they both say, you know, your names.
Thank you.
And I hope you feel better, Adam. But, okay, my question is, the strangest, like, weirdest things turn me on, like dogs and their penises, and then very old men, like, you know, like Sean Connery, and then fat guys.
Yeah.
And then I wonder if I'm just, like, weird or stupid or, like... I don't know, crazier.
No, you're not stupid.
Well, you got range, baby. I'll give you that. James Bond, dogs, and fat guys. I mean, you've covered some ground. Old guys. Give us a dog example. Yeah, you have a dog you're attracted to?
Well, yeah, I have a German Shepherd.
Uh huh.
And every time it itches itself, it's like its penis comes out of that little like sack holder type thing.
Right.
And then
right.
just comes out and it just makes me, you know, hot and stuff.
Yeah. How old were you when you first had sex, or have you had sex?
No, I haven't.
Not had sex?
No.
It's like your arousal wires are kind of crossed right now, okay? that all kinds of stimuli are sort of evoking things that maybe they shouldn't. And
German Shepherd's a good-looking dog.
And so it suggests that
something... It really is an attractive dog.
Something went on. Something went on in your development that sort of crossed the wires and things. Were you raised in a lot of chaos?
I like to make trouble, but, you know, nothing bad.
Like what?
Like, in school, if a teacher says, don't throw toilet paper on the walls, I'll throw toilet papers on the wall to spell, you know, like, you guys suck or something.
Immediately, you'll do something oppositional.
Yeah.
Well, she's kind of begging for it when she says don't throw it and gets real specific that way.
So you seem to have a disorder where anytime somebody tells you not to do something, you do it.
Not all the time. Just.
What fat guy is he into?
Have you ever seen the Drew Carey Show?
Yeah.
Drew Carey.
Oh, Drew Carey. Good. I hope he's listening. And what if you saw like a fat old German Shepherd?
Ooh, that's the best.
Yeah, like an old fat German Shepherd that looked a little like Drew Carey and Sean Connery.
Yeah, I'd like that.
What about your boyfriend? Is he jealous?
No.
No, because he's a fat guy in his 40s?
No.
No.
He's my age.
Okay, baby. So what's with all the acting out? Where's your dad?
Well, she's not acting out. She's not doing any of it.
She's a troublemaker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that. Yeah.
What's up?
Nothing much.
Where's your dad?
In my house downstairs on the computer.
Yeah, is he a good guy?
Yeah, he's nice.
Well, why are you a troublemaker? What do you got to prove?
Well, I'm bored. Like, you know, my parents, you know, they make me go to a good school.
Yeah.
They give me, like, everything I want, and I don't want everything I want. I want to have boundaries.
Why don't you cut out yourself or something, then?
No. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. The parents are abandoning in a way that they're just not present, and she wants them to be parents.
Right.
And they're not. And this is kind of what I was picking up on. She didn't get the support she needed to develop a self, and so her arousal pathways got all kind of mixed up and screwed up.
So she wants them to get she wants them to pay attention.
She needs help establishing herself, and parents need to do that. She doesn't need buddies. She needs parents.
All right. So you're saying the parents should pay somebody to hang around with her.
Yeah, basically that's right. No, her parents need to get involved.
Okay. And isn't this why most kids act out, Drew? I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but aren't they sort of asking to be paid attention to?
They are
disciplined. They're looked at.
Yeah, they're responding to something the parents are doing or not doing.
Right. Yeah, that's why I got into radio. You know.
Oh, I know. You're letting your parents have it all the time.
Yeah, I need people to pay attention to me now.
Well, that of course.
All right. Let's take ourselves a little break here, Drew.
Go eat some more chocolate.
No, I was just talking about, I'm sick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't eat so much.
Yeah, right.
Drew, you know, you're a horrible influence on me. You really are with your
food
over there.
What is this stack of...
We got a couple of baskets sent to us by our radio agent.
Which are beautiful. Thank you, Bob.
Bob Eatman. And by the way, ironically, his name's Eatman. He never stops giving us food. You know, I think he's trying to fatten us up so we can't be
we can't
on TV.
That's very funny.
Eatman wants to get us both up to like 350 pounds so we can't be on TV anymore. We have more time to dedicate to radio. But ironically named Eatman just sends us over piles of food. And we get this stuff at 10:30 at night. We start digging in by about 11 and none of it's tofu. I guarantee you that. And Drew, I would have... See, here's the deal. Once the seal on the basket is broken, it's game on.
Yeah.
I could have easily left the sanctity of the basket alone, not popped its hymen and thrown it in the trunk of my car and brought it home. But Drew had to break in, and now it's game on. Right?
There you go. But I'm having you eat my basket, so there won't be anything left over for me to eat. See?
Yeah, but now then I will eat my basket on the ride home.
That's right.
Okay, we'll be back. Oh, God. Hey, love line. I'm Adam, that's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Part of the cast of Not Another Teen Movie is going to be in here tomorrow night. Chigga mugga mugga. I'm too sick. Hugga mugga. Chigga mugga. I'll spit my uvula out onto the microphone. All right. Crystal?
Yes.
21?
Yes.
What's up?
My husband wants me to shave my vaginal area.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just think that that would hurt.
You mean shave, like bikini shave?
No, the whole thing.
Like shave off.
Yeah. With a razor clean?
That's what he wants.
Why?
I don't know.
Did you ask him?
He said because that's, I don't know, he just, that's what he wants.
People are amazing, aren't yeah. they?
Well, so what he wants is what he wants. Yeah. And when you guys go out to a movie, who picks the movie?
We don't go to movies.
Huh. It were you to. That is kind of an aggressive answer, isn't it?
No, it just, it's, there's never an ounce of satisfaction on this yeah. show. There just never is. You think you can ask a couple, a young couple, when you go to a movie, who picks them, and the answer is, we don't go to movies. Just, you know what it is? It's like a big chess game I play with all the callers of this show. I try to make my move and get an answer. They slide in, checkmate. I wouldn't even consider that an answer, we don't go to movies. Okay. Now, see, now the problem is I'm on the movies now. I have to pursue the movies. What's the last movie you guys saw?
What's the last movie that we saw? Legally Blonde.
Okay, yeah. So that movie's who picked 6 months old.
Yeah, who picked that one?
So I would say that's going to a movie, right? Yeah. And you picked that movie, right?
Yes, I did.
All right. So you do kind of get to have your way at times in the relationship, right?
Yes.
Okay, are you mad at your husband?
No.
No? You don't sound happy with him.
I'm tired.
Okay.
She's mad at you.
And you have any kids?
Yeah, we have two.
Mm. Ooh, two kids. 21. Wow. Can you slow it down a little? Maybe not have any more?
Oh, we're not.
All right.
Good.
What's he do for a living?
He works construction.
Yeah. Shocking. Shocking.
Adam was making a hammer movement with his wrist before she answered the question.
Drew, you misunderstood. I thought he was a dean of students.
That was a gavel. That was a gavel.
Florida State.
I see. Oh, I see.
It's the tomahawk chop they do. All right. So you don't want to do this, right?
I don't know. I think that it would hurt, like razor burn or whatever.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable. A lot of itching and ingrown hairs and stuff.
Why don't you compromise? Give yourself a nice short trim.
Okay. Like with a clipper. You won't, not down to the skin. But it'd be, I think a natural question would be, honey, what is, why? What does that do for you?
Well, he's just trying to breathe a little life into the sex life.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, too.
You give yourself a nice shortcut there, okay?
Okay.
And, Drew, what should you, do you have any of those clippers?
Do we?
No, you.
Or does the...
do you have access?
Does your family own the clippers?
I think I could come up with some.
All right. You ought to get that and cut the kid's hair with it, too.
And then maybe, you sound more than tired, Crystal. You sound profoundly depressed.
And a little angry.
Well, that's part of the irritability of depression. So kind of look into that maybe, too.
True. I know this sounds a little crazy. You tell me where I'm wrong here, because I have a lot of notions as a parent that are probably going to be bad
when
I have kids. But
Oh, yeah.
I see my sister. She's got these two kids.
Yeah.
The hair's all over the place.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, this was even a year or two ago. They're, you know, 1 and 3, 2 and 4 kind of thing. And the hair's all over.
Mm.
And I think, wow, what a pain in the ass as a parent when you have to wash it. Mm-hmm. It gets all dirty and you're working the shampoo and whatnot.
Brush and comb it. Yeah.
Yeah, and all that good stuff. And I understand when you're 5 and 6, maybe even later into the 4s where you're starting to become a little person.
Mm.
But when you're 1 and 2 and even 3... Why not just buy yourself some of them battery operated, $30. Mm-hmm. You get the clipper, you go down to Save-On, you put the number 3 attachment on it, and every 6 weeks you buzz the kid's head and you keep it nice and short, and you don't have to worry about the lice and the crayons getting caught up in there.
That's the thing. My kids beg for buzz cuts.
Yeah, but as a parent, who the hell wants to haul them down to the barber and everything? Right. You just take them out to the backyard, tell them to hang their head in the trash can, and... beat on it a little with a wooden stick, just sure. Wooden
freak
spoon, wake them up a little bit, and then just take that little buzzer and just buzz it all down. Have the whole thing at 3/8 of an inch,
or not even an inch and a half, an inch or 3/4 of an inch. Fine, that's fine. Still buzz it,
right?
It's fine. Yeah.
Jesus, I went to this. I know we're late for break, but I went to this party once. There was this 5-year-old kid, maybe 6, beautiful kid. It was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like a girl because it was very, you know, once in a while you see these very pretty boys, mm-hmm. especially when they're five, mm-hmm. and they just look like girls. Mm-hmm. And the kid had long flowing blonde hair and it was down past the kid's shoulders. So there was 35 people at this party. It's like, oh, what a beautiful little girl. Mm-hmm. And they kept saying it to the kid. Come here, little girl. What's your name, little girl? You know, mm-hmm. and this poor boy had to keep saying, I'm a boy. Mm-hmm. I'm a boy. And I was looking at her parents going, hey, Dix, cut the hair. You're going to turn the kid into a freak. Imagine hearing you're a girl when you're a boy for the first 3 years of your life because your hair's like Rapunzel's.
That's what happened to me.
Oh, is that what happened to you?
That's what happened. There you go.
Okay.
Explains a lot. Oh, boy.
It's all coming into focus now. All right. We're going to take a little break. We'll get back with Anderson and his golden locks. Hey. Love line. I'm Adam. Drew over there. Hop back on them phones, see if we can help the kiddies. Jennifer?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I recently had a DNC about 4 months ago. And ever since that, ever since I got pregnant, my sex drive has tripled.
Hmm. What do you think that is?
Drew, what's a DNC?
It's where they go in and it's abortion, basically, right?
Well, the baby didn't develop correctly.
All right, so they go in, they scrape out the uterus, take out the contents.
They said it's just like a great big vacuum.
Is it a DNC or
yes.
DNC?
Dilatation and curettage.
Ooh, curettage.
Scrape.
That's curettage?
Yeah.
Like cuticle?
Like curette, the scraping instrument. Uh-huh. The non-circular scraping nasty thing.
All right. DNC, mm-hmm. and now, no sex drive.
No, my
big sex drive.
Oh, big sex drive.
Yes.
Are you on medication?
No, I'm not.
No birth control pills or anything like that?
No.
Why not?
I'm married, and I have a 2-year-old as well,
mm-hmm.
And it took about a year to get me pregnant,
mm-hmm.
And then the baby didn't develop correctly and all that, and I used to want sex every day, and now it's like 4 or 5 times a day.
Wow. Hold on. Oh, wait a second now, goofball. You're 18?
Yes.
How old's the kid you have?
Two.
And you're working for the last year to get pregnant?
Yes.
What's the hurry?
You already had a kid.
I couldn't have taken care of 2 hamsters at 18.
No, I would have eaten one and put the other up my ass.
Yeah.
And then eaten it. Yeah. You were pregnant at 15?
Yes, that was actually in result to a date rape.
Okay. Well, that's bad. But
all right, so
why working and then working hard at 17 to get pregnant again?
Well, we weren't really working hard at it. I haven't been on birth control. I went on birth control for about 2 months.
Well, attempting to get pregnant.
Yes. Trying for a year.
Yes.
In your words, doesn't that seem like, yeah, I don't know, you should be getting a little help for the date rape and focusing on the kid you got? Yeah?
I'm a stay-at-home mom, and so my husband and I both absolutely love kids.
All right. What happened to you? Are you okay? What's up with your family?
Not a whole lot. My parents are getting a divorce.
Oh, I know why you're working, because the kid is not your husband's kid.
Right.
No, it's not.
And it's the date rape kid, and you got to get that rape kid out of you and get into your own kid with your husband, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how old's your husband?
He's 21.
Mm-hmm. He's got all that energy, sure.
He's got himself in, what was he, 19 when you were 17 or 16 or something?
17, yes.
He's 3 years older.
Oh, boy.
All right, so let's not argue about why she is.
All right.
Were you sexually abused at all or traumatized anyway before the date rape?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, and so that's kind of what I'm picking up on here, that you're kind of a sexual compulsive. And that heated up for some reason just now. I don't know why. Right? You kind of have, are you an addict?
I wouldn't say so.
Have you ever been addicted to anything?
No.
Did they give you pain medications at the time of the abortion?
Yes, they did. I didn't take them. I didn't even take anything when my son was born or after he was born.
Why not?
I have an extremely high tolerance for pain.
All right.
So you haven't needed these things?
No.
Did they give you any pain medication while you were in the hospital?
Yes, they did. I don't remember what it was. I know they gave me morphine and I had an allergic reaction.
Meaning what, you vomited?
No, I broke out in hives.
And have you taken opiates at any time in the past?
No.
Never.
Why are you working that, Drew?
Because I have a feeling all of a sudden she's going to say, well, I was on heroin for 3 years. Because what happens is sometimes when people get re-exposed to opiates, the whole addictive momentum takes off and it can come out sexually.
Right.
That can be how they express it.
All right.
And
well,
I'm really getting that here. That's what I think is going on.
Here's the deal. I think if you were molested growing up.
That's enough right
yes,
there.
Yes, yeah. And date raped and whatnot, that you got some work to do on that.
All right.
It's going to affect you. And it's going to affect your parenting.
Absolutely. It's going to affect your availability to the child emotionally. And it's something that's exquisitely important to the child's development that you take care of this. And if you're an addict, that will be part of getting that dealt with. But I get the real sense that some biology was turned on here that sort of turned up the heat on your compulsivity.
All right.
And usually that's the addiction biology.
But listen, everybody. You must get yourself in proper shape to be a parent.
Mm.
I mean, a look at it is going on one of these, running a marathon or a triathlon or something like that, which is you can't just, be smoking and pounding heroin and 50 pounds overweight and hit the road with it. You got to take a little time, get yourself into shape. And if you were the victim of molestation and you grew up with this and you have a kid at 15 via date rape, and then you got another one that you're working on at 18. What kind of shape are you as a parent? You that is abuse.
But I
know it sounds like I'm overreacting.
No,
you know you're going to be a bad parent.
I couldn't have done a hamster at 18. Me.
Sexually or?
Either way.
I see.
As a parent or as a sex partner.
No.
You know, and here are kids that are truly stuff going on.
You couldn't have been trusted with a nice condo or a decent set of wheels.
Are you kidding?
At 18.
No way.
I would have immediately taken that thrush muffler woodpecker who was smoking the cigar sticker and put it on the side, never changed the oil, and just eaten Chinese takeout all over the nice interior. I would have destroyed anything.
Yeah.
I was an idiot. You're supposed to be an idiot at 17, 18. That's the plan. That's why you don't have the kids. Linda?
Hi.
You're 26?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I have a strange feeling based on some things that I've noticed that my friend, who is a divorced single father, may be molesting his 3-year-old daughter.
What have you noticed?
His daughter acts very funny sometimes. Like she doesn't always want to go by him, and I think she's very affectionate, probably more affectionate than she should be. We were sleeping the other night watching a movie. And she kind of tried to touch my breast.
Mm. So far, no signs.
But then you do breastfeed, you know.
Yeah, 3-year-olds can do that. She's
well,
three?
I was wondering if it was because she's estranged from her mother.
Oh, my God. That's extremely traumatizing to a child.
Why is she estranged from her mother?
Because her mother was an alcoholic, and they got a divorce, and she never really... Well, the father made it extremely difficult for her, but she never tried to pay any money or anything, so he got all rights. And she's currently trying to pay more money. But there's just, like, other things that I've noticed that I have to wonder. And
well, were you molested?
No.
Do you know of any of these signs? I mean, have you had any experience?
Yes.
You have?
Why?
Yes.
What experience?
Well, with... Like, I guess, I don't know, I guess you could say that maybe, because when I was little, another child tried to molest me.
All right, so you were sexually...
Yeah, no.
That is what that is. Why do you argue with me about that?
Listen, Thurston,
just because it happened to you, dude, doesn't mean
look,
it doesn't
first
happen.
First off, she said tried, idiot. And secondly, she was a young child herself. I was asking her if she saw these signs.
Right.
Yeah. What happened with someone trying to do this to you?
Well, basically, they just tried to kiss me and stuff, and I was just like,
well, kissing is not... No.
But here's the next question. Now, hold on a second. Hold on. Now, here's the interesting thing. She's putting that down as an attempt at molestation.
Right.
So what's up with her?
Right, something.
What's up with this super, super hyper alert... molestation radar system she's got.
She's
got the AWACS rolling on top of her head. Linda?
Yeah.
Why would you even say that someone trying to kiss you when you're a little kid, another little kid, is even close to molestation?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. You're asking me if I was molested or how would I have any symptoms as to what's weird when you're a little kid. All I know is that when I'm a little kid and I never thought about French kissing, or I knew what French kissing was, and another little kid wants to French kiss me who's, like, younger than me, like, you know, who shouldn't even be thinking about French kissing, I'm like, whoa. And it was a female, too.
All right. But all I'm saying is I was just trying to see if you were victimized or anything like that.
Yeah, you weren't victimized. Huh?
I feel that I was victimized by a child that didn't mean to victimize me, but...
How old were you?
Maybe 8.
And how old was younger. How old was the kid? 5?
Yeah, probably about something like that.
All right, hold on. You feel like that was an attempt at victimization?
No, I don't. I'm asking about somebody else. I'm not saying... Well,
Hang on. Adam, don't. Oh, as
sorry.
You know, don't talk to our
car. All right. I didn't mean to. All right. Okay. Do you have kids of your own?
No.
Okay. So something's making you very sensitive. Listen, this child is in a profoundly traumatizing situation. Abandoned by mom, who's an alcoholic. Dad, maybe an aggressive fellow.
Well, that's enough. How is dad?
And by the way, kids that are in those kinds of situations will often do very bizarre things with their genitalia and with touching. They will like expose themselves. They will start to confuse aggression and sort of genital expression. And it is very common, and it doesn't mean they were sexually abused.
Okay. Basically, I'm asking you what are the symptoms, because dad is a little weird.
What does dad do?
We've talked about, you know, different relationships we've had, and he likes, you know, sex clubs and different...
Sex clubs?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Sex clubs.
Linda, I know this sounds drastic, but you got to take the kid and just drop him off at a strip joint right now.
What are you talking about?
Because that's...
Oh, I know. I'm wondering, like, I don't...
How did you get caught up with these idiots?
I met him through a friend.
Yeah, but why did you hang around with them?
Why are you taking care of the kids and stuff?
Well, he wants me to be a nanny for him.
Yeah. So you were hanging out with him because you want the job?
Because why?
Because you want a job from him.
Yeah.
That's what this relationship is for you.
Right.
A potential employer. Okay.
All right. And what's up with you? You have a boyfriend or
no?
Not married.
All right. Certainly, all right. If you have any question at all, though, it is no harm in calling Child Protective Services and, you know, filing a report. That they'll make the decision about what they need to do with it.
Well, and you can probably ask them, but it's hard to tell, and there's no real evidence at this point.
The Department of Social Services.
The kid is going through hell, and mama's gone, and
awful.
Dad's an idiot, and
having the child touching a breast would be, you know, normal. Under those circumstances.
Yeah, I'd cop a feel if I was 3 and cuddled up in bed with Linda. I worry a little about Linda.
Yeah, isn't that funny? We couldn't get at any of that, what you were asking her. She couldn't process what you were asking.
Mike?
Yeah.
I had a nice experience today. My sister called me and said that my nephews really missed the hell out of me, and they were asking about me all the time because they were living in my house for a little while, and I really missed them. And I could hear them yapping next to the phone, and she was saying, "Oh man, they idolize you. They look up to you. They miss you. They want to know where you are." And then she said, "Uncle Adam's on the phone. Who wants to talk to Uncle Adam?" And I said, "Yeah, put him on." And they're like, she came back. She goes, "They don't want to talk to you."
I love kids.
Kids are great, huh? They don't want to talk to their idol. They're too busy writing my name on their tennis shoe or something, Brad.
Yeah.
All right, then. Sorry there, Mike. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, like, earlier you were saying the little kid with long hair was called
the girl. Oh, yeah.
I was called the little girl, like, my whole childhood life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and my hair was long, and my parents wouldn't let me cut it. And I was just... Pretty much my whole life, I've just been called a girl.
Why wouldn't they let you cut it?
Probably about 10.
Well, why wouldn't they let you cut it?
I don't know. It was just something with my parents. They just didn't want me to cut it.
One thing I was telling Adam, whenever parents act out anything of their needs, of a reaction to their family of origin, whenever it's about the parent and the parent's reactions that are determining how the child is cared for, it's a disaster for the child. Even if it's like, you, Adam. My dad never paid any attention to me. He didn't have anything to do with tools. So with my kid, we're going to have tools and we're going to work in the woodshed all the time. That's not good for a kid.
Oh, listen, I don't want that. I want my own tools. I know. I didn't want your kids coming and messing with
my tools. I understand, but I could see you going, potentially you might go, well, when I have a kid, we're going to, I'm going to make sure I don't make that mistake. You know what? That's the same side of a coin that you're now stuck on.
Yeah. No, I would like to hopefully just give the kid the option if he's interested in whatever,
right,
he could explore it. I didn't have that option. Now I'm overcompensating.
But maybe, maybe Mike's parents were, when I was a kid, it was the 60s, and my parents wouldn't let me grow my hair out. So, damn it, my kid's going to have long hair.
Yeah. Well, it screws them up, because you don't want everyone calling you a chick your whole life, and then you grow up and you become like Anderson over here.
Yeah,
what happened to Anderson?
Yeah, what happened here?
Anderson had long hair growing up, and people thought he was a little girl.
Then he got those calves.
Then he got them big calves, so they thought he was a lesbian. And now, they don't know what to think. What's up, Anderson? You had long hair growing up?
Until I was 6 or so, everyone thought I was a girl.
And did you like the long hair?
Yeah, I didn't mind it. You get more attention as a girl.
Yeah, and did your and more action, too. And did your parents want you to cut it, or did they care, or what was the deal?
I don't remember that being an issue. I probably wanted to keep it.
Right.
And I don't remember them saying you have to keep long hair.
Long blonde hair?
Yeah, it was curly.
Nice.
So, the difference is that I wear, jewelry now. Mm. And I'd probably wear nail polish more often if I didn't have to get the dirty looks from Adam.
Right. Well, you just go with the clear, flat stuff, and
you're,
I won't notice.
You're a cross-dresser. That's what you're telling us.
Pretty much, yeah. I'd wear a skirt all the time if I didn't have to deal with things.
Really?
Yeah.
I would respect that if you want to wear a skirt just to let your sack breathe.
Do you masturbate to when you're clothed like that?
No.
Okay.
I don't beat off at all.
Are you, Adam, you're right? You okay?
At all?
That's what he said.
I don't buy that. I refuse to believe that. I will not believe it.
Anderson, this will not help your relationship with him. Be careful.
You better start beating off and lose the nail polish and pick up the Jergens. There. Then we got stuff to talk about. All right. Well, it didn't screw him up. Well, maybe it did. But I'm just saying, if you got a kid that everyone thinks is a chick, you owe it to the kid to cut the kid's hair.
Sure.
Because it's weird for the kid to have their gender screwed up growing up. All right. Let's speak to Jane, who's 19. Jane?
Yes.
What's going on there?
Okay. I actually have two quick questions. One of them is, I just relocated to this area. I was wondering if there was a hotline you could give me after I asked my next question for LA, for counselors in this area that were free or low charge.
Where are you?
Between Glendale and Burbank.
The Pasadena, the Fuller Theological Seminary has a school of psychology. They have some pretty good interns there. Fuller Theological Seminary.
Okay, thank you. And my question was, I was wondering, mild depression with highs and lows, is that something that I can control or that I need a prescription drug for?
Well, it depends. It depends on how severe these things are, and somebody needs to assess you to make a determination whether this is something that could be dangerous to leave untreated. The other thing to keep in mind is that if this is a bipolar syndrome, allowing those swings to develop around your age can establish a pattern of swings that will persist through life. While if you're able to contain them at certain critical periods of development, which is right around where you are, there's a possibility that you might make actually a less severe illness.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's almost like it has swings to it that are electrical, biological swings that if they get established during a certain window of vulnerability, they persist.
Sounds like they cut this swath and
exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. During a certain period of development. It's around 20.
Interesting.
And at least under the age of, I think, 22, if I remember right. And then again, you got to remember that 20% of people with depression die. It's a serious illness.
Well, they kill themselves. I mean, let's be fair to them.
It's a serious condition.
They have heart attacks.
Okay, now I've had this since fifth grade, but it always seemed like to be under control. And I just moved to LA, and in the past 3 months, it has seemed to be something I haven't been able to control.
Well, and a depression since the age of 9 is really serious.
Why'd you move to LA?
To become famous.
Oh, move back to wherever you came from, please. All we got is more depressed people hanging around here, handing out headshots.
Now, I'm concerned that would a medication disrupt my creativity?
No.
What do you do?
I'm a writer.
Ooh. Oh. Uh-huh. 19. What kind of stuff do you want to write?
Well, I have a screenplay right now. I'm actually pitching it to a director next week, and I have novels and poetry, children's books. I have a lot of stuff.
Listen, forget those children's books.
No, why? No, why?
Because that's
good business.
It's such a cop out.
It's good business.
It's good business. It's biggest cop out I've ever seen in my life.
I appreciate it when there were good. I came across a good children's book.
It's
I really did.
Listen,
every third celebrity cranks one out. Every mom
did not buy one of those. Didn't buy one of those.
I swear to Christ, I hope my mom's not listening, but we have a neighbor, Pat, who started writing those children's books, and my mom was so excited. You know, Pat's a published author. Mm. Read these books. And I'd go like, we jumped on the bed. Next page. We fell on our head. Next page. Papa came home. Next page. Papa left us alone. Next page. It's back on the bed. Next page. And I'd be like, oh, this is genius. There's almost four words a page.
It's and like, you can read.
And it's like 11 pages long. And I was like, you know, the illustrations are pretty creative. Yeah, she didn't do those. It's like, I wanted to like go, what the hell? Well, but, I mean, couldn't you write a kid's book in about 10 minutes, Drew?
Not I. Not that would have
really?
Substance.
You'd have way too much medical text in
I
there?
I think so. Too much philosophy. But listen, Jane, that what happens between the age of 18 and 22 is that the problems that you've been coasting with come to roost. And if you've been depressed since the age of 9 or 10, this is the time when things get more serious. And it is definitely time to get this evaluated. Go down to Fuller.
All right, and good luck with the screenplay.
Mm.
Well, let's find out what it's
about.
That's
got to be tough.
Jane?
Yes?
What's the screenplay about?
I can't tell you.
Oh, shut up. God, do I hate that. Like anyone's going to buy it. Come on, tell us what it's about.
Where I'm from Santa Cruz in the Santa Cruz Mountains. There was a mother, she killed two of her kids. Mm-hmm. And I have taken that story and aged everybody by 25 years, kind of switched some things around and made a dramatic screenplay based on that.
Okay, now I'm going to do that one. But I'm going to turn it into musical comedy. Snaked. And I got connections, too. Born gay, the life is to live gay. Yeah. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little bit of a break, and then we're going to come back. And when we come back, we're going to speak to, well, what about Jessica down here on line 4, Drew?
Okay, well,
freshman in high school.
Sure.
Teacher makes her feel real uncomfortable. Coming on to her, maybe. Jessica?
Hi.
Hey, is it your teacher's, like, you think has a crush on you, maybe?
I don't know. It's really scary, though, and I don't know what to do.
All right.
Well wait a minute. What? Why? You don't think they have a crush on you?
No, they do. Like, okay.
All right, good. Huh. Just a second. I was trying to get a little cell in there.
Adam, when will you learn?
Just trying to get a little cell. We'll talk to Jessica after this. Hey.
She should pay for that.
Love line. I'm Adam. That's Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. When we left off, we were speaking to Jessica, who's 14, has a teacher that's making her feel creepy.
Right?
Right.
What's he doing?
So, like, I come in after school for help, like, a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's all, like, no one else is there because no one else really comes for help. And I, like, want to pass the class.
What does he teach?
English.
Okay.
And so, like, and he has a wife, too, so I'm pretty scared.
All right. He has a what, too?
A wife.
Okay.
What did he do?
He just, like, he was all touching me, and I don't know.
So he didn't say anything. It was just sort of a creepy feeling.
Yeah.
Is he kind of a creepy guy?
Like, he didn't seem like it, like, from the beginning of the year, but now I see him, like, totally differently.
How old is he?
Probably in his 30s, late 30s.
Mm. Old guy, Adam.
Yeah.
No, late 30s isn't old for Adam, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not so creepy. Yeah, when I touch you. What? Huh?
Well, I saw you, like, last year. I don't know if you remember, though.
Where?
In your studios. I was, like, your biggest fan.
Oh, you came out here.
Yeah, with my two friends, Valley.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I remember that.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, so thanks, baby.
Yeah.
Remember, when you're on your 18th birthday, I got a present for you.
I know. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'll be just turning 40, and we can really...
Oh, yeah.
Really have that that second childhood I've been longing
for. All right, Jessica, so is there anyone else at school you could talk to about this? Is there other teachers? Or?
Well, wait a minute. What is there to talk about
well,
at
just
this
to,
point?
Just to put people on alert about this guy, and certainly you shouldn't
how
be alone
he,
with him.
How did he touch you?
Like, he kept on, like, rubbing my shoulders and stuff, and really? I was just like, okay.
Was he... Rubbing your shoulders, really?
Sure, he wasn't. Maybe
no,
just,
like, yeah, like trying to like help me out or whatever.
Just being nice. It's possible.
That could have been. Man, she got the creep. Then,
yeah, don't be alone with him, though. Don't be alone. Don't,
I know,
don't
but
that.
I have him for the rest of the quarter. So.
I know, but it's your fault for trying to better your grades.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah.
You. Here's the deal. Sit in the class. You know, if he ever says, you know, you want to go on a field trip in my pants or anything like that, it. Report him. And I'm sorry, you should not have to feel this way, but there's not a whole lot you can do at this point. And so definitely do not go there. Do not be alone with him. Just sit in there when the bell rings, sit down, and when the bell rings, get up and leave. And if he does anything else and wants you to come by the house for a little extra credit or anything, then you start talking.
Well, and don't be alone with him. Do not.
Yeah, but like I need to like have my grade up there.
Well, what's he doing alone?
Then bring someone in with you when you go.
Hold on. What do you do alone with the guy?
Well, like I needed to up my grade.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is he gives you an assignment, right? Write a book report.
Yeah.
You go get a book and write a book report. What do you need to talk to him about?
Well, I didn't know then, though, that he was going to...
Well, no, I know that, but now we're saying don't bother.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Maybe get
some
email communication going, something like that, and that's it.
I just wanted to get some dick.
Ugh.
Drew, did you ever... You must have spoke to your teachers.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh,
outside
yeah.
of class?
Oh, yeah.
Like, about what?
Depending what the class was and what the problem was.
What they needed? What problem? Had problems?
I mean, what I was working on.
Well, then they tell you, like, hey, write a report on Abraham Lincoln, and then you just leave?
No, you'd want to go back and discuss some of the stuff and clarify and advice for more reading. And
advice for more reading?
I'm thinking about college.
Listen.
College was way more because there were labs and stuff.
Wait, what was that? College?
Yeah, the college thing.
I think most people don't even want to acknowledge that their teachers or even leave the class. Like, if I was walking down the hall and I saw one of my teachers, I'd look down and keep walking. Like, it was weird to see them outside. I need at least 35 people standing around me in order to tolerate a teacher. Jesus Christ. You didn't write any letters or talk to them on the phone or anything, did you?
No.
You ever call one at home?
No.
Huh?
No.
No, but you would go after class?
Yeah. Huh?
Parents come in for parent-teacher night?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Sure.
Wasn't that bad? Were you okay with that?
Yeah.
You had nothing to hide, right?
Right.
And they would talk about
whatever
you needed to do?
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy. Ann, you ever do that? No. True, you need to go to public school. You just slide in and slide right out again. Get yourself like a Letterman jacket and a BJ. Maybe a sweet roll from the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the prom. Slide right back out again. Now you're out in the real world, prepared.
Still sliding.
Clean some carpet. Matt?
Yes.
16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I gave syphilis to my girlfriend.
What do you mean you gave her syphilis?
I was having sex with her.
Wait a minute. Wait. What were your symptoms of syphilis?
There was, like, sores, like, in pubic area. Like bloating in my stomach.
And who diagnosed this as syphilis?
I went to a clinic.
Okay, and then she developed the sores also?
Yes.
All right, has she been treated?
I believe so.
All right, how'd you get the syphilis?
I was like under the influence, and I believe I got it from another guy.
All right. Now, how were you treated for the syphilis?
They tried to put me on medication, but I didn't take it.
So you still have syphilis?
I believe so.
Smart. You'll show them. No one's going to cure your syphilis. Take that.
Oh, it's messed up.
They didn't give you a shot?
Yeah, they did.
Did that clear the sores up?
Yeah, for a while. But they came back.
And did you get a rash?
Yes.
All right. The rash is secondary syphilis.
It is.
So, yeah, and you're getting kind of serious here because it can get into your brain and cause problems. It can be a big mess.
Al Capone died that way.
So.
Damn.
Many greats have died from syphilis, Drew.
The thing about syphilis is that it's completely curable and easily curable. But if you let it run, it can do all kinds of things to you.
I'd like to see that as a coffee table book. All the greats who've died of syphilis.
Oh, it's a huge list.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think there was something like that at one time.
Oh, there was?
Yeah. That's a huge list. And or those who've had it or something. It was like a book of famous those with STDs or something.
Nice coffee table.
And yeah.
Hey, man, what's up with you with the guys and the girls and the syphilis and the 16 years of age?
After I found out that I gave it to my girlfriend about 2 weeks ago, I started getting gay tendencies.
After you're already with a guy.
Before that.
Yes. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, so yeah. The gay tendencies were well established.
That figures that.
What?
I said, so that figures that.
Well, yeah, you're just swinging over to guys.
Well, listen. I got syphilis from a guy, and then after I gave the syphilis to my girlfriend, I started to get these gay tendencies. Well, do the math in that sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say you had the gay tendencies or you wouldn't have got the syphilis from the guy, right?
Right.
All right. So do you think you're gay now?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, maybe you're confused, but shouldn't you break up with your girlfriend and just kind of
figure things out a little
bit? Let her be a little bit?
I guess so.
And what's up with you? Are you in school?
No, I don't go to school. No. But I did go to Charter Premier in Long Beach.
And what's that, a bartending school?
So a homeschooling.
No.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
And that really didn't work out.
Yeah. Well, listen, these alternative schools, they don't work out too good. My sister went to Amelia Earhart in North Hollywood. It's like, Liz, everyone's got to be in by noon, and you're not leaving a minute before 1:30, and everyone... You have to put your cigarettes out before you come into the class. You only can smoke on the benched areas outside. And some of you are shortening your teacher's first name.
Oh.
Now, Teacher Philip over there does not like to be called Teacher Phil, so you call him by his entire first name.
Stop calling him F.
Stop calling him F. And if you want to smoke weed, that's fine. But again, we'll have to ask you to do it in the free range area by the lunch tables. All right. Is everyone done not studying? Good. Go home. I mean, aren't you glad you didn't go to school now, Matt?
Well, not really, because it does get frustrating when I say, and I'm, instead of K, I'll Q. I'll read all back to front and I say.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
You need to start focusing your life a little, buddy.
You need to go back and get treated for the syphilis.
Spinning out.
It really is serious.
Break up with a girlfriend. Get treated for the syphilis. Stay away from drugs. If you want to be with guys, you got to have that safe sex. And you got to start focusing on what you want to do. Thank you. Oh, man. He just seems like he's spinning in some other orbit.
Oh, sure.
Vicky?
Uh-huh.
14?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, well, I've been really, I just do, stuff with guys, random, I can't stop myself. I know it's not right, and I just, go out, and I'll just do something with the guy, you know?
Like what?
I'm with this one guy at the beach, and, I'm not like this, but I don't know. It's, I met this one guy at the beach, and, started talking, and he was just yeah, what's up? So, we just ended up, he started fearing me and stuff, you know? We ended up doing the whole hand thing. And then
out on the sand.
Yeah.
Well, you don't perceive yourself this way, but this is
no. I don't know. I don't know why. I'm like this
during the day. You did the hand thing.
Yeah.
Just put the blanket over you.
No, it was kind of a deserted beach. There wasn't many people.
Wasn't many people.
Jeez,
well, people would pass by every now and then, but it wasn't
Hold on, I'm going to work on that movie, Jizz Beach.
Yeah.
And When his goo hit the sand, did it ball up? You know, when you spit a loogie on there? You roll it into the tide? Okay. Hey, 14.
Yeah.
How old was he?
16.
Jesus Christ. I'd be at that beach every day if I was just sitting there and got a hand job. Was he there alone?
He was actually there for family reunion.
Family reunion.
Where
wandered off with me.
Ooh.
At school?
Huh?
What do you mean family reunion? Oh, a family reunion.
At the beach, yeah.
Yeah.
You got himself a handy.
I see.
Jesus Christ. Okay, what else are you doing?
Okay, well, last night, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I did this last night.
You never stop amazing yourself.
I was talking to this guy on the internet, and he was like, yeah, like we just started talking, and he was like saying stuff like, yeah, I'll eat you out and all this stuff, and like he finally like, talked me into it, so he came over and he picked me up.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How old was he?
18.
Oh, maybe.
Oh my God.
What was he driving?
Like a pickup with a cab thingy on it.
Yeah.
What's happening at home?
What do you mean? Like, my parents are getting a divorce.
Divorce, yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's why you're acting out like this.
My parents got divorced. I never got a hand
job.
Yeah,
but this is you're trying to manage some very painful feelings.
Are you freaked out over your parents' divorce?
Not really. I like it.
Well, your behavior suggests something different.
Why do you like it?
Because they didn't get along, and my mom's like a total, she's really not nice.
What's she doing?
She's just like, she nags like so, like more than usual. She yells, like she cannot keep like a calm tone, and like she's like obsessive compulsive, like piling up books.
Okay.
Is somebody an alcoholic there?
Yeah.
Who is that?
My mom is, and my dad was.
Yeah, this is all, Vicky, you got to get some help.
Well, wait a second, Vicky.
I'm going to counseling, family
Good.
Counseling.
Well, you need individual work. Yeah. Did you tell the therapist what you've been doing lately?
No, I haven't seen one. I'm supposed to have an appointment, like, January, because she, like, went out of town or something.
Vicky, I would say even more than family counseling and individual work, you should break yourself up into halves. You should be that specific with your counseling. What we do, like, your torso and have another separate counselor do your lower half.
Incarcerate the lower half.
You need it that intensely. Well, now, what about this guy? You met him on the internet.
Yeah.
He came over. How long did it take him to get over there?
Hey, you're lucky she's not in half right now. After some guy picks her up off the internet, she could have just been dismembered.
So he drove right over to the house.
Yeah.
Didn't take him long, right?
Mm.
Honked the horn. You came out, right?
Yeah.
And then when you saw him, did he look anything like you expected him to look?
Yeah, because like he sent me a picture.
And hold on, Drew. And he wasn't bad, or what did he look like?
He wasn't very attractive.
But he was all right? Not really?
Oh, my God.
You weren't too into him?
Vicky.
And so what was the deal? Did he look a lot worse in his picture?
No, he looked the same. Just,
wow.
I don't know. It's like, I don't know what's wrong with me.
And did you guys make out, or did he just go down on
like,
you?
We started making out, and then, like, he just went down on me.
And then what? It just dropped you off?
Huh? No, like, in the middle of it, like, I stopped him, and I told him, like, it was too weird, because, like, when I, like, do stuff, I like there to be, like, emotion there, but, I mean,
sure.
I have...
Well, we're hearing all about that here.
Yeah. Did you say emotion or an ocean?
Emotion.
Okay, because last but Vicky, guy gave the handy to you.
You're so desperate for contact and for positive reinforcement.
So wait a minute. So you stopped him, and then what?
Yeah, and then he was like, well, like, what's wrong? And I was, like, just about to cry, but I, like, pulled it back. Yeah. And then so, like, I just told him, just, like, wanted to drive, and we just went to the beach and, like, talked and stuff.
There's the ocean again.
Yeah, I like the beach a lot.
And he didn't want anything from you?
Well, of course he did. He wasn't forcing me to or anything.
Would you do anything to him?
No, I didn't want to.
All right, so he dropped you off?
Yeah.
Jesus, this guy's right back on the internet. You know, you just gave this guy another 5 years on the internet.
Like, he's going to come out with looking like Jeremiah Johnson.
Jesus
leave the
Christ. And he said he was 18, but he was probably 23 or
probably,
something.
Probably, I think so.
Did he look a little older?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm. This guy's cruising the internet going down on 14-year-olds.
Awful.
Now, how old did you say you were?
I told him my age.
Oh, God, these guys. I mean, it's like, hey, listen, you have no difficulty with your soul just roasting in hell. Just roasting for the rest of your life, you know. Like even when you get walked through the gates of hell, and you go, "Oh Christ!"
No.
The guy goes, "No, no," and he pulls a manhole cover off, and he goes, starts pointing down there. No, no, no,
no.
Down,
and then
down.
And then they yell down, "Hey, he's finally here! Been waiting for him."
Sharpen the pitchforks, everybody! Sharpen those tridents. We got to poke this son of a bitch's ass for the rest of eternity. Hey, Bob. Yeah, hey, leave Hitler and Mussolini alone. They've had enough.
Give them a break.
Give them a break. Over here. That's right. Oh, my God. Okay, Vicky. You sound smart.
Vicky, please get some help. My God. You may have an addiction going on. It's getting going here, too, yourself. It just sounds like that biology operating here, too.
But it's,
please get some help before this gets dangerous. Well, it gets dangerous before something awful happens to you.
That's what we always talk about, though. If a girl wants to act out.
Game on.
Just pick up the computer, or pick up the phone, turn on the computer, stand out in the corner with a sandwich board sign.
Sandwich board, just stand out in the corner.
Go down to the beach.
Yeah.
Wherever. All right, we'll be back. Hey, Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Drew over there. Drew and I just having a nice conversation about shaving.
Yeah, found Adam's Christmas present.
Drew don't have no hair on his neck, though, so you're a very lucky guy, Drew.
Yeah.
You know, no hair where?
No.
Below your chin?
Yeah.
Below your jawline?
Right.
You don't have to shave your neck?
Yeah, I do, but very little.
That's the pain, that all down the side of the neck there. My eyebrows are growing together. My eyebrows are growing up, trying to fuse with my hair. I got my ass trying to connect with the back of my neck. And my whole body's about, it's trying to connect with itself.
It looks like a slow motion version of something from a horror movie in the 30s, like a Wolfman transformation or something.
Well,
yeah.
As that big homo. What's the movie reviewer, the TV reviewer said I was in a transformation to a werewolf.
Did he say that?
Yeah, that's why you said it.
No, I don't remember him saying that.
Oh, you do remember him
saying
that.
No, I swear to God I don't.
You don't remember, him
all
saying
I remember
it.
Is no showmanship. That's all I remember him saying.
No, I have read it to you on more than one occasion.
Neanderthal, he said.
And he said that I looked like I was in the third stage of some poor actor. He named the guy. I can't remember his name. Obviously, the guy who played the werewolf into the werewolf. Yeah. Tom Shales?
Mm.
Yeah?
That's the writer.
That's the that's reviewer. One quick shout out to my good buddy, Tom Shales. Hey, big fat homo Tom Shales. Working on another TV show for Comedy Central and be going right into the fourth year of the Man Show as soon as we're done wrapping up our new TV show that we got with our Big Fat production deal. So keep writing there, you big fat homo.
Best show on television, the Man Show.
Keep writing, Tom. Everyone's listening, apparently. Matt?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yes, sir. What's going on, guys?
What is up?
Need some help here.
All righty.
I've been seeing this girl for, I'd say, since junior year of high school. Just about the past year, she's diagnosed bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much seems like, you know, past year or so, she's been suicidal and whatnot.
Okay.
And basically, I really am not wanting to have the relationship that we had 3 years ago. I don't want to have it anymore.
All right, well, end it.
That's the problem. If I say something wrong, she'll go in the bathroom and threaten herself and
Matt, you're not trapped. You can't be totally responsible for her feelings. You have to take her condition very seriously. You have to be compassionate about this, but it's not fair to her also to keep this going as a lie. And you need to move on. It's not fair to you to be stuck and trapped in a relationship like this. Maybe you want to tell people who are around her that you're going to do this. They can be prepared to support her. Maybe you can tell her medical caretakers that this is coming down. But
yes.
At some point, you just have to do this.
Like if somebody threatens suicide, then all bets are off.
And by the way,
it's like a bomb threat.
That's right.
You have to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. You just can't screw around with that.
You call the police immediately. Have them come. Every time she reacts like that, police come again.
Ooh.
Have them cart her off. That's it.
Call parking enforcement. Right. Get those a-holes out there who aren't doing anything. Leave the cops alone. Drew, stop being so quick to call the
Lisa?
Cops for everything.
Yeah. Yes?
You're 24. What's up?
Well, I kind of have this thing, I don't know, a little issue. A big issue, I guess. I masturbate a lot. Every day, but I also masturbate in public restrooms. And I know it's kind of weird, but I want to know
what public restrooms?
Different ones. I drive a lot, and I guess if you've driven down the I-5 and been to one of the restrooms there, well, you know, it's probably been one I've been in.
She's marked them all, Adam.
Do you do that because you get a thrill out of it or just because it's convenient?
No, because it's convenient, because I'm always on the road.
So. No one knows you're doing this. It's not like you call attention to
Nobody knows I'm doing it. It's not like I want to get caught or anything.
All right, what do you drive?
A car.
I thought maybe a truck or something. Oh. Why can't you masturbate in your car?
Done that before.
Yeah.
It's a little more dangerous. I'm not stupid. I don't want to kill anybody.
Well, hold on a second. Do you have to put your feet on the dashboard and roll your eyes to the back of your head? I mean,
That's the good thing about being a girl. There's no cleanup factor, so, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Look, just diddle yourself while you're driving. Speaking about danger, you're going to get snuffed in one of these restrooms. They're going to find you with your hand up your coos. And that's the picture they're going to put in the paper.
Oh,
yes.
Girls don't masturbate like that. They don't put their fingers...
No, we know. We understand.
You rub yourself, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, slide the seat back a little and rub yourself while you're driving.
I can do that.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. That's fine. Get yourself one of those little mini vibrator egg things you put up and just buzz along as you're motoring down the highway. God damn, I'd have one of those hooked right into the cigarette lighter.
No doubt.
We'll be back.
There we go.
All right, everybody. Tomorrow night, the cast of Not Another Teen Movie.
That actually looks kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll watch that.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone...
Gives you the DVD.
Get two chicks in the same bed. Do them!
Tried to order myself some porn on the internet tonight.
Oh! Disaster. A first.
Disaster.
Why?
Tried. Once in a while, I try to do something like a human being. Okay, it didn't work.
Yeah.
They say I couldn't do it. They needed my name. They needed this code, and they wanted my AOL address, and I didn't know what it was, and it turned into a disaster. And then I called the place. I gave my credit card, my name, and everything, and then it hung up.
Oh, great.
So, comedy. I should have put a camera in my office. At 1 hour of trying to get a porn, I spent 10 minutes on the phone. I was like, name, address.
What was the porn?
Whatever. Oh, it's just some, big jug DVD thing I was trying. It hung up on me. I don't know. It's a comedy. Complete comedy. All right. So, until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. And you may also want to think about an additive. How many miles do you have on your anus?
How many miles? Quite a bit, dude.
Uh-huh.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.